Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Good morning. It is Monday, March 1st, 2021. I am your host, Nathaniel E. Baker. Our top stories today: March Madness, Third Coronavirus Vaccine, Buffett Annual Letter. Leading today's news: March Madness. Which sectors will make it to the Final Four? That's a question investors are asking as the new month kicks off after things turned south for stocks at the end of February. The biggest monthly rise in bond yields since 2016 injected fresh uncertainty into the market, bruising technology stocks and triggering volatility streaks that saw the Dow Jones swing more than 1,000 points over 3 days. Things appear to be turning around this morning as the 10-year Treasury yield fell 4 basis points to 1.4%. Futures are pointing upward. The Dow and S&P are up around 1%. NASDAQ futures up around 1.5% at the time of this recording. Quote, "This week is key. I'm expecting turbulence or volatility to remain with us until we have a better understanding of where central banks stand." That's Andrea Carzana, a fund manager at Columbia Threadneedle Investments. Quote, "Further consolidation is likely in March, but we expect the market to find support shortly and subsequently challenge the recent highs again." End quote. That is Jeff Hirsch, the editor of the Stock Traders Almanac. Hirsch noted that April is statistically the best month of the year. Another area that is taking bets is a potential increase in inflation due to recent stimulus efforts. The House passed President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill on Saturday, while the Senate is expected to follow suit shortly. The package includes financing for vaccines and medical supplies, an extension of unemployment benefits, a round of $1,400 stimulus checks to individuals, and financial aid to small businesses and state and local governments. As a result, the U.S. Treasury is expected to sell a huge amount of debt in coming months to pay for the measure. Going a little deeper, Fed Chair Jay Powell has aligned with the administration in waving off concerns over an overheated economy, saying the job market has a ways to go before inflation fears are justified. The support could trigger a strong period of growth, low unemployment, and rising wages, though critics argue that it may lead to a cycle of rising prices, higher interest rates, and a ballooning national debt. The views don't only have investors sizing up March, but also who will be the champion in the championship at the end of 2021. Third coronavirus vaccine. Traders today are also applauding the FDA approval of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 shot. This is the third jab to be approved in the U.S., and the first to have a single-dose regimen. The decision clears the way for immediate distribution and vaccination of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to Americans 18 and older, building a broader rollout that's currently utilizing jabs from Pfizer/BioNTech and Moderna. Looking at the bigger picture here, shipments from J&J will be limited at first, with just a few million vaccines going out immediately. But the company has a deal to supply 100 million doses by the end of June. The single-shot product had an overall efficacy rate of about 66% in its Phase 3 clinical trial, and the U.S. arm of the trial showed an efficacy rate of about 72% and of 85% when protecting against severe or critical disease. This lower efficacy rate compared to rivals is raising some concerns that people may opt to wait for other vaccines, but shares of J&J are still up 3.5% in the pre-market, trading around $164 a share. Buffett's annual letter. First things first, Berkshire Hathaway's fourth quarter operating earnings totaled slightly more than $5 billion, up from $4.4 billion in the year-ago quarter. This was bolstered by its railroad, utilities, and energy unit, and, quote, other businesses. The conglomerate also bought back about $9 billion worth of its stock during the quarter, which was the same amount as in Q3. Total buybacks for the year are now about $24.7 billion. This boosts shareholders' ownership in all of Berkshire's businesses by 5.2% without requiring you to so much as touch your wallet. So said Warren Buffett himself in his annual letter to shareholders. The Oracle of Omaha also didn't reference any elephant-sized acquisitions, but rather stressed the importance of operating earnings. Berkshire's focus is to, quote, increase this segment of our income and to acquire large and favorably suited businesses, end quote. Last year, we met neither goal. Berkshire made no sizable acquisitions and operating earnings fell 9%. The company's intrinsic per share value increased by retaining earnings and repurchasing about 5% of its shares. Meanwhile, Buffett seemed to indicate that he's more content with acquiring stakes in well-run companies than buying them outright. Quote, what's out of sight, however, should not be out of mind. Those unrecorded retained earnings are usually building value, lots of value for Berkshire, he wrote. Those companies that Berkshire invests in, quote, use the withheld funds to expand their business, make acquisitions, pay off debt, and often to repurchase their stock, an act that increases our share of their future earnings, end quote. Bottom line here, Buffett pointed to Berkshire's investment in Apple as an example of the power of buying back stock. The company paid about $36 billion for a 5.2% stake in Apple back in mid-2018. Since then, Berkshire has received regular dividends of about $775 million per year and an additional $11 billion by selling a small portion of its position. Even with that sale, Berkshire now owns 5.4% of Apple, an increase that was costless to us coming about because Apple has continuously repurchased its shares, thereby substantially shrinking the number it now has outstanding, end quote. 2021 Golden Globes. Shares of Disney and Netflix are ahead by 2% and 1.2%, respectively, in the pre-market. This after the two emerged as top winners at the 2021 Golden Globes last night. The studios won 15 of the prizes handed out by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association in a broadcast hosted by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Things were also a little different this year, as presenters and winners appeared remotely due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Awards. Disney scored the top accolade of Best Motion Picture for Nomadland, while Netflix dominated television with hits like The Crown and The Queen's Gambit. Other streaming services also picked up key honors. Borat's subsequent movie film from Amazon Studios was named Best Picture, Musical or Comedy. And star Sacha Baron Cohen won Best Actor. Daniel Kaluuya, meanwhile, notched Best Supporting Actor for his work in Warner Brothers' Judas and the Black Messiah, while Schitt's Creek captured the award for Best TV Series, Comedy, or Musical. The supremacy of streaming services versus traditional studios does not come as a surprise. Over the last year, many theater chains have been shuttered, while the biggest new films have been delayed or put online. Disney Plus has gained an explosive 86 million subscribers in just 1 year, and it now expects between 230 million and 260 million on its flagship streaming service by 2024. It also temporarily halted its dividend last year, following calls from activist Dan Loeb to plunge that cash into original content as it centers its operations around streaming. The outlook here: in its most recent earnings call, Netflix revealed that it had surpassed 200 million global subscribers for the first time, this after topping 100 million subs as recently as 2017. Netflix additionally detailed plans to be cash flow positive after 2021 and said it would no longer need to tap debt markets to fund its programming. Netflix is also considering share buybacks, a practice it hasn't done since 2011. That was also the last time the company was cash flow positive. Hashtag pot stocks. With one in three Americans now living in a state where adult marijuana use is legal, Virginia is no longer sitting on the sidelines. Over the weekend, local lawmakers narrowly approved compromise legislation that would make it the first state in the South to allow recreational marijuana. The bill now goes to Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, who supports legislation, for his signature. The fine print here, the law would legalize the use of cannabis by people over the age of 21. It would also allow possession of up to 1 ounce by anyone over the age of 21 and establish an agency to oversee regulation of the cannabis market. The state is hoping that its commercial recreational marijuana program could generate nearly $1.5 billion in annual sales within 5 years of the scheduled start on January 1, 2024. Specifics of the regulation were punted until next year, when they'll be decided by the legislature. Under discussion are the framework and criminal penalties for several offenses, including underage use and public consumption of marijuana. Currently, people under the age of 21 would face a $25 civil penalty and have to undergo treatment. Some more details on this. Part of the bill is aimed at ending disparate treatment faced by people of color in the criminal justice system. The legislation calls for 30% of marijuana tax revenue to go to a fund aimed at communities that have historically been overpoliced for marijuana-related crimes. Some lawmakers and advocacy groups also complained that the years-long waiting period needlessly extends unjust treatment, though others argued that going ahead without regulations could boost illegal pot sales. What else is happening this morning? Rocket Lab is nearing a deal to merge with Vector SPAC, whose stock symbol is VACQ. That is according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. President Biden has voiced support for Amazon, for a Amazon union vote in Alabama. $15 an hour minimum wage cannot be part of the stimulus bill in the Senate. The SPAC party may come to an end soon, according to a warning from a hedge fund manager. And digital wallet payments overtake cash for in-store purchases in 2020. Looking at today's markets in Asia, the Nikkei in Japan is 2.4% higher, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong 1.6% to the good. Stock markets in China and India are up 1.2% and 1.5% respectively. In Europe at midday, the FTSE in London is up 1.1%, the CAC in Paris up about 1.2%, and the DAX in Frankfurt is up about 0.7%. Turning to the U.S., futures in the U.S., Dow up about an implied open of about 300, which is up almost 1%. The S&P is up slightly more than 1%. NASDAQ up 1.5%. Crude oil is 1% higher to trade around $62 a barrel. Gold is about 0.6% higher, around $1,740 per troy ounce. Bitcoin has rallied. It's up 5.6% to trading around $48,000. And the 10-year treasury yield is down 4 basis points to 1.4%. On today's economic calendar, a pair of Fed speeches, Williams at 9 p.m., Fed Governor Lael Brainard speaks at 9:05 a.m. We also have PMIs, the PMI Manufacturing Index at 9:45, ISM Manufacturing Index at 10, and construction spending at 10 o'clock as well. There's also another Fed speech at 2 p.m. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate it and review it. Your feedback is appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.